Well, we want to get back to that jobs report, and we're going to bring in now Michelle Schneider. She is a MarketGage.com partner and director of trading research and education. Mish, always great to see you here. I've been getting analyst commentary all day, and I want to talk to you about your reaction to the jobs numbers, but also the technicals, because if we can put the Wi-Fi interactive on the screen here, I just want to show what I'm seeing in the S&P 500. This is a 3-month chart of the SPOOS here, and we're seeing the possible break of this downtrend line here. And also, we can put a 50-day moving average on it. We can see we just kind of rejected it yesterday. So the jobs numbers, the market, I'll just let you run with this, Mish.
Well, great to see you, Jared. Well, yeah, the jobs number, I actually was a little bit surprised that it was that low because I expected that to happen more like next month, but especially after we had a couple of good numbers this week with jobless claims, et cetera. But be that as it may, to me, what was more interesting about the number was the growth of wages, which of course we know is highly inflationary. And now looking at the SPY here, we're really in a range-bound market, and that makes sense. We found buyers close to the July lows. The Nasdaq actually got almost exactly to the July lows. SPY's not so much. And if you look at three very key intermarket relationships, they're still actually positive. One would be if you look at the SPY versus the long bonds, the SPYs are still outperforming. We know the long bonds are generally a flight to safety, and these yields are going up. If we look at junk, which is high yield versus the long bonds, even though those are going down, they're still outperforming the long bonds. And then if you look at transportation, which to me is always the ultimate sector because it measures demand and whether people are going to go back and travel, how goods are moving, of course, with labor shortages, how truckers are moving, et cetera. And that's also outperforming the SPYs. So you've got some positive signs there, which is why we always say, us traders, that price rules. And with all the scary stuff that's floating around, the market is still positive. But that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to new highs or anything. We do have hurdles to cross at every plateau, like you just said, the 50-day moving average being next.
Well, and besides, when you say hurdles, I assume those are technical hurdles as well, but we have some fundamental hurdles. We got a Fed meeting in a month. We just got that payroll report, which we know they're digesting, some other economic data coming out. We got CPI next week. I know I like to talk about the Fed. Do you have any thoughts on what they're thinking right now? Because the analyst consensus I've heard from so far, they're saying the taper's still on.
Well, I think the Fed caught this real lucky break because the yields have sort of gone up without them really doing anything other than intimating about taper. They did say today that taper's on the table, but rate hikes, given the jobs report and the stagnation of the economy and the supply chain, et cetera, is probably off the table. So to me, the bigger problem with the Fed right now is unless they do something really bizarre, their credibility factor went way down in general. I thought that was probably more concerning than policy, the fact that it's all come out that they've been trading ahead of their monetary policy. And so I'm not so sure the Fed right now is the key, like I said, unless they do something insane like quantitative easing, which I highly doubt, or nothing, which is probably more in line with what I would expect, or they just say, you know what, we're tapering November no matter what's happening in the market, which Powell most likely won't do.
Yeah, you kind of. I'm asking myself, what were they thinking? Clarita, come on, you know better than this. But I want to switch gears. I know I want to get to some charts with you and take advantage of your technical skills. On the Wi-Fi Interactive, we have the energy sector. That's XLE. That is a leading sector today. And I'm going to pull up a 5-year chart. Let's see here. There we go. And put some candlesticks on it. We're at a really big level right here. It was in play earlier this year. It was in play in 2019. What's your read of the technicals in the XLE here?
Well, XLE is actually clearing the 200-week moving average, which it hasn't been
That's a big
above in a
one.
very, very long time. That's huge. That's huge. That's a trend change, a phase change. So if we hold here, if we're looking at XLE above the 55 level, roughly, just to round it off, I don't see any reason why that can't go higher. I just read that somewhere that there's only 31 days of supply for heating oil. at this particular time, and we haven't even gotten into the winter months yet. So these energy crises that we're seeing around the world, the supply chain, the labor shortage, the things that aren't moving, the cargoes that are stuck out of California, et cetera, none of this right now is going to be resolved anytime soon. So energy, of course, your risk is higher, but I still think it's probably a good play against this 55 level.
Well, and before we go, I want to get to your analysis of gold and silver, because I know that's on your radar. Haven't had an inflationary environment or a stagflationary environment since the 1970s. We going to get a repeat of the Hunt brothers here?
Oh, my God. You just brought back so many memories. I lost my job because of them. But
oh, my goodness. I did not know that. I'm not trying to spook anybody here.
No. I was working for Conti Commodities. That was booking all of the trades for the Hunt brothers, and I had a seat for them on the exchange. And so they went belly up, and I went off to gold and silver. Perfect segue. So, yeah, I mean, to the 1970s, we've been talking about it for a while. And the one thing that was the X factor there was oil. So now, of course, we're seeing oil creeping up with it hitting $80 a barrel today. The embargo of the 70s is still fresh in mind of anybody who was around in those days. And so it's almost like the final bit of the puzzle that makes you think, at what point does gold and silver get a clue? So it opened up much higher this morning and sold off. But right now, typical inflationary indicators when silver starts to outperform gold, which we haven't seen in a while. So silver had this big flush bottom. It's now trading higher today, even though it's come up from the highs. And I think you got to keep your eyes there because it can really surprise people as a flight to safety when everything else seems to be somewhat nonsensical.
And we're going to have to leave it there. Michelle Schneider, thank you. Always great to see you. MarketGage.com partner and director of trading, research, and education.